Good morning, Arizona. It is 8 o'clock Saturday morning here. 8 a.m. Rooster wake-up call. It is the Outdoor Living Hour. If you'd like to join the conversation with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery, it's 1-888-767-4348. Text questions to 411-923 or email images. We got a couple for you here already.
All right.
Three questions to info@rosieonthehouse.com.
That's rooster call and coffee pour. Yeah. Someone asked me this week, what is that noise the rooster?
The coffee pour?
I thought we talked about changing that, didn't we?
That's a cup of coffee. We are pouring a cup of coffee. Get it? We're waking up in the morning to the rooster and the coffee. And the person asking me that says, yeah, but when I wake up in the morning, there's one other thing I do.
Oh, it sounds a lot like that, right?
It's a coffee pour.
Need to have a perk. Maybe a coffee percolate.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe you could do that. Unfortunately, you can't get the smell through radio of the coffee brewing. Right?
And like you say, if coffee only tasted as good as it smelled.
Yeah, I mean, amen to that. I learned to drink coffee probably like when my dad would take me hunting or camping. It'd be so cold in the morning. It was just, so you could grab a cup of coffee in your hands, those old metal camp cups, and it would keep you, warm, and you'd kind of take just a sip now and then in black coffee. And, I just kind of learned to, over the years, to drink it black, and probably never have ever enjoyed a really good cup of coffee like some people that put the cream and the sugar and all that good stuff in it. But yeah, I wish it tasted it. I like it, but I wish it tasted as good as it smelled.
I didn't learn coffee until I was in college. Growing up on the hunting and fishing trips with Dad, it was always a Cajun product called Honeydew.
Oh, gotcha. Or bourbon. It had a little bourbon in it.
Bourbon in it. He called it cough syrup, morning cough syrup.
Little medication.
Grandpa Raymond's Honeydew.
Now, we're spread out. How was the weather report? I know we had friends straight north of us in Morristown have to stop and pull off the side of 60 because it was so bad they couldn't see because of the rain. We had zero visibility because of dust in our area of Whitman, but not a single drop of rain. Did y'all end up with anything?
A little bit. I think your dad got more than we, and we don't live very far apart. We got a nice shower, pretty hard rain for a little bit, and then a little bit of light rain off and on, but, not enough to be able to turn the sprinklers off at my house.
I've got a weather app now that tells you how close the lightning strike was.
Yeah.
You were talking about pictures. That last night was a great opportunity to take pictures. Once the dust cloud blew through, man, we had a lot of lightning.
You did. Well, I was on the roof night before last, looking off to the south, and it was an incredible lightning show on the horizon. And then I checked with our rep in Tucson. She says, yeah, Vail and Sorita just got hammered, floods and hammered and whatnot. But, it's kind of cool. We were sitting there watching a little TV last night, and it was close. I mean, it was
there was some good ones.
Boom.
Yeah, there was some good ones.
Man.
So what's this app? It'll tell you how close the lightning strike was.
Yeah, it's cool.
You may not want to know.
It's an added feature at the Weather Channel.
Oh, it's on an app you already had.
Yeah.
Very cool. So how close was it?
You know what? Before we get into plants, can I reach out and ask a favor of all our listeners?
Absolutely.
John Jay, you've been around dogs your whole life.
I have. I just inherited another one, sort of.
Did you? Did you? I have a 4.5-year-old that has developed a huge anxiety about storms, and he literally goes bananas. I need a dog whisperer.
You spend more time putting that dog to bed than all six of our children.
That's kind of interesting because she's like 11 now. Just these last couple storms, she's jumping up at the door. She's never
This guy
had a problem
tries to
with
chew
it.
Through the glass.
I had a dog many years ago, and I had one of those chain link kennels. You buy the panels, you put them together. He would tear the chain link off.
Yeah, I can't. I'd really like to solve this for the dog. I mean, last night they sleep in my garage, and it's conditioned so they're comfortable. And I put the stereo system out there. I put Esteban on. I turned the lights on.
White wine and candles.
Yes, that's next, Jay.
I turned the lights on so he couldn't see the lightning through the skylights. We need a dog whisper. But okay, I took the whole show off track here for a few minutes.
Somebody will call in because I've got one too. I had to put them in their kennel last night because that'll calm them down. If I just get her in where she can get in the kennel and not be out in the backyard, she was fine. But this just happened.
Wow.
I just wanted to change subject on you. We're still getting texts for all the Arizona highways. We do have our winners. Have like 100 texts here. So, but now if you want to add text questions to Jay for landscaping, I'm sure there's lots of damage and things that need to be taken care of today. 411-923.
Let's get started in the yard.
So not enough rain to turn off irrigation.
Well, not at my house, but, you know, your dad said he might have got a half an inch, which that would be nice, but yeah, it just depends on where you live, and that's the deal with these monsoons. So it does really help to have a little rain gauge. So you know, sometimes it seems like you got a lot because it comes hard in pounds, but it doesn't last very long, and it doesn't sink in very good because it hits hard and big and fast and runs off. So having a rain gauge, you know, you probably need a half an inch or more to really probably be able to skip a day or two on your watering schedule. But it's a great way to do it if you can. Of course, we do get all that released free nitrogen when we get lightning and rain. And there's just something about all of that, obviously, from nature that makes things look a lot better. If you do have some damage, trees that are down, you know, it really helps to take a picture and send it to us or bring it in. We can maybe from the pictures tell you if it can be salvaged, maybe it can be stood back up, or maybe it can't. So whether you need new lodge poles or you need a chainsaw, we might be able to determine, you know, from looking at some pictures. But
now,
we're also, if you got a little rain, soften that soil up, you know, getting some compost and starting to work in some compost now because we're just about to August. And that list of vegetables we can start planting from seed really starts expanding as we get into August. And then, of course, September, it really goes through the roof.
And if you did get rain, it's a good time to work your ground.
Yeah.
You have a little bit of moisture. What about pre-emergence?
It's always a good time to put pre-emergence. I mean, it'll start working from the minute you get it watered and into the soil. You know, any weeds you have already, it's too late for that. But, you know, from the minute you start, it will start preventing weeds. And as we get more monsoon moisture, hopefully, you're going to get some more weeds. So this would be a great time as we start. I think the forecast for this coming next week is I think there's rain in the forecast almost every night. So that doesn't mean you're going to get it. Depending on where you live, you may get a lot or you may get none at all. So a great time to get pre-emergent. We're only a month away from citrus fertilizing, so if you wanted to kind of cheat that a little bit, you could also do that and get it watered in.
And on that pre-emergent, if you're spreading out a granular and you got rain last night, you still have to go back and rewater that in? Or is that moisture
from the ground
okay?
Well, it depends on how much rain you got. If you got a half an inch or an inch of rain, you might be okay. But it does have to get watered in. Because if it lays there on the surface, the UV rays, the heat, everything else will dissipate it, and you won't get it into the soil where it needs to go.
Okay. Well, for those of you that are just joining us, we actually start at 7 o'clock now, a new feature within the last year and a half to Rosie on the House. And we had Maggie from Glendale call in this morning and said, I've got a question on this tree. And this is a purple dragon. She's had it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously some bark problems happening there. Is that salvageable?
Well, it's hard to say because when you get a tree that's that badly sunburned, which is what had happened, looks like maybe she put some paint on there after the fact. But it's so badly sunburned that the bark is cracking and peeling off. The conductive tissues, the vascular mechanisms, the xylems and the phloem that, you know, transport moisture and nutrients up and down the main trunk of the tree out of the roots, are just barely under the bark. They're not way buried deep into the wood of a trunk. So when you get bad sun damage and the bark peels off, you expose those tissues to sun and dehydration and damage, and they get damaged, and then the plant loses its ability to gather moisture and nutrients and pump it up into the tree. So what we need to do is, probably in this case, it's so badly peeling, I would just peel, you know, kind of loosely, whatever's loose, just peel it off, get some more tree wrap, tree trunk paint. And if you haven't protected your young, smooth bark trees by this time of year, you really need to do that. Citrus, ficus, ash, any fruit trees like peaches, apricots, plums that haven't gotten big enough to shade or form their own shade canopy. Sun damage on especially the south and west sides of younger trees will come back as the tree gets older and look like this. It's a lot like the sun damage on our skin. As kids, we grew up here. We played in the sun. We didn't protect our skin. And now that we're 50-some years old, we're having all kinds of things burned off of our face because of all that damage that was done earlier on. It's kind of the same way with plants. So hopefully get some sun protection on there, and hopefully it's the damage is not so great. The tree can still kind of compensate for it.
On that wrap, is there a special type of product you use? Can bed sheets work?
We want to use a breathable material. We don't want to use plastics. And you could trap moisture, you know, at the bar and have some other problems. Plus, they're hot. Cardboard works fine. You know, if you can find some old corrugated cardboard and put it on there and staple it on each side of the trunk. They do make tree wrap products that can be kind of a brown paper or a white cloth. The material that we use to cover for frost, the frost cloth material, you can cut that into strips. That makes a pretty good tree wrap.
We've had a gentleman text in and wants to know about having a 20-foot saguaro removed, complete mm-hmm. access to the front yard. There are
companies that will do that and salvage those. I have a name of a couple of them, or you can usually a nursery that specializes in cactus. But you have to have the right equipment as long as they can get to it. But you still have to have those things are incredibly heavy and have to be handled the right way.